Hello, you're listening to your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast. And before we start our episode, we want to say thank you to all the fans who've been supporting us to this time. And if you're a new fan or just now listening, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Not Another Sports Podcast. And at Twitter, N_A_S_podcast. Now enjoy the show.
To another episode of your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. Me and my co-host, Kevin and Jordan.
Yo, what's up? This is Kevin.
Yes, sir.
And of course, as always, we're going to kick this episode off with something positive. Another week out here. I get my chair, my new wheelchair on Wednesday. So, we out here. Yes, sir.
My positive of the week, was able to attend and see Ben Hill Griffin Stadium at its full capacity, and I loved every minute of it.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Kevin. He would not be denied that Saturday morning. Definitely. Me and Brandon, we have been searching probably since like 10, 11:30, looking for cars, tickets, a whole bunch of different stuff. So we woke up Saturday. One last search, and we searched like 4 or 5 different rental car places. Couldn't find nothing. Everything was sold out. So Kevin was like, we're going to try Toro one last time. We found a car, got down there. We had issues with the tickets. We eventually got in. We got better tickets than we paid for. We watched a great game. It was lit. And I got to sing Rammer Jammer. Shout out to the Florida fans who were good sports about it. You know, they were better sports than our own people. But, you know, we're going to leave that alone.
That was hilarious. And it was a point where I thought you wasn't going to be able to sing that song. And that would have been, I would have topped the day off. But, you know, Emory Jones.
Okay.
Thought he was Mike Vick.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Well, we're going to move on to the weekly recap. NFL Week 2 just concluded. So we're going to get a few highlight games, but not go through the whole weekly schedule. But first off, we're going to start with the Bengals and the Bears. Andy Dalton got hurt. Justin Fields really came in and game managed their defense. I think they had like 17 fantasy points. No, because Roquan Smith had 15 by himself. So I don't know, but their defense did the win. I feel like more this week coming up, they're gonna put more expectations on Justin Fields because we don't know we're gonna get with Andy Dalton. So I feel like if Justin Fields team from here, at this point you can't give it back. But how y'all feel about the Bengals and the Bears game?
This was one of the many games that I watched this weekend. I felt like, well, there was a time where I started off watching it, but then I turned it off because I didn't think that Justin Fields was going to get in. Then somebody in the group chat texted and said that Andy Dalton got hurt. So I turned it back on. Justin Fields looked pretty good. He didn't, other than the one play that was a pick where the, I think it was the linebacker dropped. Like he was faking where he was coming on the blitz and then he dropped back. I felt like there was more than enough time for him to see that he had dropped back, and I felt like that was an avoidable pick. But other than that, he played really well. I want to say Allen Robinson dropped 2 very, very catchable touchdowns, and then Arnell Mooney dropped another one. But other than that, I feel like he played a really good for what he was asked to do. He did well. I feel like they're gonna have to put more on his shoulders if he's the starter. They said that if Andy Dalton is healthy, he's gonna be the starter. But I feel like if he plays, have to get more on his plate. You can't count on getting a pick on 3 straight pass attempts and getting great field position that often. It's not gonna happen every game.
It was more telling for me about Joe Burrow Joe Burrow went out there and threw three interceptions, and I believe they were all back to back. That's concerning. I don't want to say it's gonna be detrimental to him or this is something that's gonna reoccur. I just think this is a learning lesson for Joe Burrow and something he has to continue to work on. He also did miss half the season last year, so it looks like he's gonna make rookie mistakes this year. He just got to keep filling himself out. Chicago's defense is elite, so I'm not holding too much on him, but it was very alarming to see, especially with all the hype surrounding him and how everybody said he protects the ball and take care of the ball and he's supposed to be the next up. So to see that happen on three consecutive possessions was alarming. And Justin Fields came in and he did what he had to do, game manage. I don't think he did anything special, but he does hold on to the ball a little bit too long. He does kind of like pat the ball. He got to work on that. I don't think none of the rookies are showing out this season. You know, you got to learn your way. Not everybody is the Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons and whatnot. So he looked good. It's interesting to see what they're going to do depending on Andy Dalton's health. So let's see if he can keep the team afloat as the starter.
Yeah. Next up, we got the 49ers and the Eagles. I feel like Jalen is that he can play at the NFL level. He's making NFL throws. He's putting the ball on his receivers. He's just once they continue to build that team around him and continue to get him talent, they're gonna be fine. They're playing the NFC East, so it's not like they're playing one of the tougher divisions. It's competitive, but it's not one of the tougher divisions. So if they can get some talent around him, they can. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline. We'll see if they can. As long as they keep him upright, it should be fine. Yes, they did lose, but like Shanahan said, it's the sixth time they played these back-to-back road games, and they're 6-0. So, yeah.
Yeah. This one I had my eye more focused on than the Bears game. I felt like Jalen played well enough to win the game, but they didn't. One, because there was the big play that they didn't score on. Jalen Reagor, that it was a 36-yard touchdown, but he ran out of bounds. Not gonna lie, I don't really watch the NFL that much, so I definitely forgot that there was in the NFL. I thought that there was like in college. Yeah, I found out that doesn't exist. But other than that, I felt like he played a pretty good game. He had a 91 yard pass to Quez Watkins. But they didn't score on that drive. I felt like on that one, they kind of took the ball out of Jalen's hand. And I feel like they kind of got scared. They could have, they definitely should have, like, they had multiple shots at it. And they ended up throwing the ball out the back of the end zone. And it didn't make sense. Like they had first and goal from the one. It was a pass to Zach Ertz that he dropped. Then Miles Sanders lost 3 yards, and then they gave it to on fourth and on third and goal from the four, and he ran out of bounds. And then on fourth and three, I feel like they took the ball out of his hands, tried to run kind of like the Philly special. And then Greg Ward threw the ball out of bounds on fourth and goal from the three. Like, dude, what is your issue? What is it? What's up with or people with the ball in their hands not wanting? Like, they watched the NFC Championship, and now everybody want to just not run. Like, it's okay to run, bro. You can use your legs. But other than that, I feel like the defense really didn't do much. They got off the field one time in the second half. Like, they got one punt on the 6-play drive, and then they went on a Then San Francisco went on a 16-play, 92-yard, 9-minute drive. Then a 9-yard, 3-minute and 10-second drive. And that was the it. Like, at that point, the game was over. There was not enough time. Like, and then the last drive, it was 6 plays, 9 yards for 4. How do you go 9 yards, 6 plays in 4 minutes? That's pathetic. Yeah. Derek Barnett made a terrible, it was third, I want to say it would have been 3rd and 15 or something like that. And Derek Barnett made a personal foul call and basically ended the game. So, yeah. I don't get it. I, like Brendan said, I'm not too worried because they're playing the NFC East, but yeah, I feel like that was a winnable game. Jalen has to play better. He did miss a few throws, but I mean, you can live with that, but he definitely needs to improve on that. He needs to be more consistent, but he did make some plays that were called back.
I second that. I do agree. Jalen Hurts has proved to the Dodgers that he's an NFL quarterback and he could play and start at the highest level. Devontae Smith was a great addition to the team. I think they need to continue to add some weapons. They need some more firepower. This offense looks like it has a hard time scoring points. And I think that's just due to a lack of weapons. They need to expand the offense a little bit. But the first two games, Philadelphia defense has shown up for them and kept them in ball games. 49ers put up 41 points last week, came back with 17 this week. And like Jordan said, really showed the versatility of this team. You can go out there and score a lot of points, or you can just strictly ball dominate and hold the ball, eat up more majority of the quarters, and win the game like that, and have your defense with the Bosa, with one of the Bosa brothers on the line, hold it down, like, which is a recipe which got them 13-3 a couple of seasons ago into the Super Bowl. And I think they can repeat the same thing if they keep it up and Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get hurt or doesn't throw a key interception or mismanage the game, which he rarely does.
Throws that Jimmy G made that he could have, I bet he wishes that he had that. A lot of his throws there were wide open. So, there is that, but he did what he needed to do to win the game. He managed the clock like he said.
Next up, we got the Seahawks and the Titans. Yes. Derrick Henry had 54 fantasy points. 54. 198. I think it's like 11 carries, 198, and a touch.
Three touchdowns.
Man, I said it at the beginning of the year. They go as Derrick Henry goes. As long as they can keep themselves in ball games and be able to stick to the run, they'll be fine. Russ also had a high number of points, like 35 or something like that. Anyway, shout out to Tyler Lockett. He had 34 points by himself. I know that.
Yes, sir. On my fantasy team.
Yes, sir. You're on my fantasy team in one of these leagues. But I mean, it was a good NFL game. The officiating stuff, but that, I mean, we've been saying that forever. At this point, I don't think they care no more.
What really sucks is the Seahawks offensive line. The same thing Russell called them out for, that's going to kill their season. But I'm sorry.
We said all this at the beginning of the year. None of this is new. We already all the problems that they're having. Yes, they won't. But, I mean, we really count for them. The most improvements or... you go backwards the most between week one and week two. I heard a coach say that one time. But how y'all feel about the Seahawks and the Titans game yesterday?
I watched, it was Bucks and Falcons game, and I feel like I made a great choice in watching this game. If Russell Wilson is on the TV, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be watching. I feel like they got off to a good start at the beginning of the game. They were playing really well on defense. And then they kind of got conservative. They did get a lot of big plays to lock it. I can't remember the backup receiver's name that caught another one. And to Brendan's point, yes, Russ had 40 points on fantasy. But yeah, I feel like they kind of got complacent. They stopped trying to take over. They tried to run the clock out. That's not going to work in the NFL. You got to keep your foot on the gas. Shout out to the offensive coordinator or whoever is calling the plays, because apparently all offensive coordinators don't call plays in the NFL. But shout out to whoever was calling the plays for the Titans. They didn't get out of their game. They kept running Henry. They play action to Julio. He had a big game.
Yes, sir.
I feel it was a terrible call on the one that was in the end zone. I feel like he got both feet down, but it didn't end up mattering. So shout out to him and shout out to the Titans, even though I was going for the Seahawks. Doesn't really matter. Julio and Derek got the win.
Shout out to the Titans for doing what they have to do, staying solid and not losing their identity with the addition of Julio and now having AJ on the side. They still a Derrick Henry led team. And as you see week one, if he goes out there and lay an egg, that team is not winning. He has to be over 100 yards rushing. He has to have 24 to 25 carries a game in order for this team to be able to open up the play action, which will allow Ryan Tannehill to be able to get the ball to AJ and Julio, because that makes him better. He's not a quarterback who can just, you know, sling it around without, you know, having that play action set up. So it's good to see them up and running that. But for the Seahawks, it's more to me about the Seahawks not having the offensive line. Russell Wilson was hit a lot of times that game and sacked like 4 times. That's it's a big problem. Tyler Lockett did his thing. DK Metcalf did his thing. Russell Wilson is still able to be elite with the lack of protection, but it's only so much that he can do, and it's only so much DK and Tyler can do if your O-line is not going to block, and that's going to be critical in the moments in like week 16, week 17, and then going into the playoffs, which the Seahawks have shown in recent years that they're good enough with Russell to get to the playoffs. But when it gets to that point and they have no protection, it crumbles and they lose in the wild card of the first round. So, it's just concerning for the Seattle Seahawks, especially now seeing Arizona hop off to a fast start. Kyler Murray look like he's on a mission. DeAndre Hopkins is DeAndre Hopkins. Kingsbury is coaching for his job. For the Seahawks to lose this game, it kind of hurts them.
That's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. Next up, we got the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Tom Brady had 5 touchdowns. I mean, it was a competitive game at some point. It was close. But then Matt Ryan threw a pick on the tip pass. Dude, he had 2 of those yesterday. Deflections returned for 6 sixes. So, you know what I mean? Our offensive line improved from week 1 to week 2, but at the beginning of the play when we had, beginning of the game when we had less than a yard, on 4th down, we punted. And then 4th and 2, we called a bad quarterback sneak and didn't get it. So, fire Arthur Smith already after 2 games. I'm just saying, bro, his coaching either isn't resonating or he's not a good coach. But, yeah. Like the play, he has no situational awareness. That's what I'm talking about. But shout out to the GOAT. He's doing GOAT things. Mike Evans went off, Gronk went off. Yeah. Well, how y'all feel about this Falcons in the Bucks game?
I turned it on right when it got to a 3-point game. Will was going off in the chat about how Matt Ryan was being fired and he was doing something. So I was like, let me go ahead and turn this game on and see what the hype is about. I want to say on that drive, Tampa scored on that drive. I'm not 100% sure, but I do know. No, right when it was like 28, 25 or something like that. And then it might have been like, yeah, they did score. Yeah, they scored. Then Matt Ryan threw a pick. Yeah. And then I was like, yep, I'm going to go ahead and turn to, Godwin scored. Yeah, shout out to Godwin. Then they caught the pick six. That's when I turned back to the Seahawks game. And then I laughed at the message that Will sent where he said, Matt Ryan is about to show you vintage Matt Ryan or something like, it was something like that to that effect. So I had to bring that message back up. But other than that, it was pretty much what I expected. Mason wants you guys to know that you guys have no excuse. You should show fight every week, even if you don't win. I feel like you will want me to tell you guys that. But other than that, I didn't really watch this game.
I didn't watch anything. Expected the Falcons to lose, and they did. Game was closer than expected, but as Atlanta's shown you, when the game get closer, that's when they're going to give it up in the worst way. So, wasn't surprising at all to see the ending results. Falcons are trash.
Next up, we got the Ravens and the Chiefs. The best game of the weekend. This man, Lamar, showed up. He finally beat the Chiefs. Shout out to him. I feel like the Chiefs' run defense was terrible, but I feel like if they can't stop the run, it's going to be hard getting back to the Super Bowl. Yes, this is an air raid league, but Kyle Shanahan shows you that you can get to the Super Bowl with a run-first offense, play action, all those type of things. And that's exactly what the Ravens offense is. But shout out to Lamar. He had 108 on the ground. I forgot how many passing yards he had. He did have three total touchdowns. He did a flip into the end zone and got the first down in the field again. Shout out to Harbaugh. Yes, he trusts his players. But how y'all feel about this Chiefs and Ravens game?
I'm going first, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. First of all, go Ravens. Ravens Nation. Yes, sir. Get this little narrative off Lamar Jackson back about not being able to beat Patrick Mahomes and all of that whoop-de-whoop. So I'm happy for that. Also, I will say shout out to Will 05, the Wizard, because coming into this game, of course, I still believe we're going to win the division. I still believe we're a playoff team, but I did not believe we was going to win this game. I was still kind of upset and concerned of how we lost the game last week against the Las Vegas Raiders and how we should have won that game. I didn't know how that was going to affect us coming into this game, us not having our second best cornerback and us not having that much running back depth. So I was just concerned just against Kansas City. Will said he thought Lamar Jackson was going to show out, which wasn't, you know, anything new. But he said him and Hollywood was going to perform, and they actually went out and did. I said Hollywood is on a one-year lease for me because I really do like Hollywood. He's from Florida. He's a good player. I just felt like he's not an outside receiver. We need him in the slot, and we need him to catch the ball, and we need him to stay upright. And so far, he's been doing that. So I'm very happy about that. But I want to say Lamar Jackson is special. I don't care about Deshaun Watson, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allen, and Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson is special. Lamar Jackson is just as good as these guys. Lamar Jackson has won every single award that you can possibly name for a quarterback and the best player in every single step in league he has played in. So I want to give big props to that. And he gave me a lot of a lot more confidence than I had going into this game. I said before the season that Lamar Jackson is going to prove to the world that he's that guy, and he's going to be overcome these obstacles we had at the running back position with these injuries. But shout out to him getting 100 yards. Shout out to Freeman coming in and busting a long 14-yard run and getting about 30 yards. I think Tyson Edwards had about 60 yards rushing. We are still a dominant team running the ball, even without our main three running backs. And give more credit to John Harbaugh for staying firm and keeping everything poised in the midst of a dark situation. So, yes, I really was excited with the win last night.
I knew at some point I was gonna be this weekend, so I kind of fell asleep in this game. But I definitely feel like when did you came and asked me for my keys and I ended up giving you my AirPod? That's when I knew I was delusional and I didn't know I was like, yeah, I'm about to fall asleep. But that's when I want to say it was right after he threw the pick to Tyrann Mathieu. It might have been a little bit later, but no, that was the second one, not the first one. But yeah, it was early when I went to sleep. Shout out to him from bouncing back. It was literally the first thing I checked when I woke up. It wasn't if the Mets won. Speaking of, shout out to the Orioles for beating the Phillies. But it wasn't. That was literally the first game I searched for. And then, of course, if the Cowboys won. But I mean, it was a good game. Shout out to Lamar. He got his first win. I can't remember what the stat was, but they always win when he has over 100 yards. So shout out to him for that. Taking on the toll.
You're like 6-7 and something like that.
Yeah, taking on the toll that the running backs left. Shout out to Devontae Freeman. He looked pretty good in the time that I saw. But yeah.
Raven Nation.
Week two. We're gonna move on to week three. I'm just gonna name the team, name the game, and I'm just gonna run through these real quick. Give me 1 second. Pull the NFL schedule. All right, Thursday night we got the Panthers and the Texans. I'm going Panthers. They're doing all right now. Whatever. Who y'all got?
Yeah, that's easy. I'm going to Panthers.
Panthers. Sam Darnold doing what I said he had to do.
Next up, we got Washington at the Bills. I'm go with the Bills. I got Josh Allen as my fantasy quarterback, so I need a big day out of here.
Washington.
I'm going to go with the Bills. I feel like they got to prove that this last week wasn't a fluke. Josh Allen hasn't looked too good to start the season off. And this is going to be a good matchup. I'm actually going to watch this game.
Bears, Browns. I'm going with Cleveland at home. They should have beat Kansas City. I think they got they're going to be playing against a rookie quarterback, maybe? Who knows? Let's see what Andy Dalton said. And, yeah, they got a stout defense. Shout out to Nick Chubb, too. Yeah, 19 points yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think that even if Justin Fields does play, I don't think that he'll be able to beat this team. And I don't think that he's going to play. So I'm going to go with the Browns.
Going with the Browns. Hopefully OBJ finally plays and Myles Garrett gonna have a big game, big day.
Ravens, Lions. Ain't nobody here. I'm going Ravens.
Ravens, of course. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Saying Ravens, of course.
Yeah, same Ravens.
Colts, Titans. I'm going Titans. We don't know what Carson Wentz is going to do. But I feel like the Titans have the better team. This is their division. So.
Yeah, Titans. They looked good last night. The Colts defense don't look too good. And Carson Wentz probably not going to play.
Doesn't matter if Carson Wentz was playing, because the boy is poo-poo. Titans, easy.
Chargers, Chiefs, Kansas City.
Go Chiefs.
Chargers starting off the season 1-1, I believe. No, 0-2, I believe. No, 1-1. They beat Washington. Mm-hmm. Coming off a close L to Dallas. This team has some promise, but I did say they're gonna have a step back. They're not gonna be trash, but they are gonna have to step back. Go with Chiefs.
Saints, Patriots. I think both teams, well, one team improved from week one, one team regressed from week one. Patriots at home. Yeah, he's going to be a young quarterback. Patriots at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots. It's kind of got a team that wasn't really interested, and then they got exposed by Carolina. So, yeah, Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Saints. Just feel like the Saints got a little bit too ahead of themselves, getting a little bit too hype off a week one win, coming off their Aaron Rodgers, being Aaron Rodgers high. Just need to relax, humble themselves, get to the roots and understand the purpose of their season. They're still a good team. I don't think week one was a fluke.
Falcons at the Giants. I'm going with the home team, of course. Giants have Ben Downs as their quarterback. I mean, we got Matt Ryan, but they're going with the home team.
This is really a toss-up. The Giants should have beat Washington. The Falcons could have beat the Bucks. I don't know. I feel like where is it? Oh boy.
They both mean.
I'm gonna go with the Falcons. Let y'all know now. If y'all lose this game, it's not if y'all lose. If y'all get embarrassed in this game, I'm gonna treat y'all like I'm gonna do Houston and Jacksonville, where I'm not picking y'all until y'all play. I mean, until they play each other or until one of them win.
Saquon playing?
Probably. More than likely. Yeah.
Going with the Giants. Falcons are trash.
You're not wrong. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Before now and Thursday, I might change this pick. Just beware.
Next up we got the AFC North division rivals. Steelers at the Cincinnati at the Steelers. Bengals at the Steelers. I'm going with the Steelers. They finally got a running back. Shout out to Najee. More fantasy points.
Boy, thought he was Derrick Henry last week.
I'm saying. Yes, but I feel like they can get him. He's versatile enough to get the ball out of the backfield. He's also obviously can run between the tackles. So I feel like Pittsburgh still has something to prove. This is, and they're playing the Bengals. So, and it's at home. All this tip lining up for me to pick Pittsburgh here.
You know, again, after watching that Bengals game, part of me is saying they got lucky on two of those touchdowns, but then the other part of me is saying they look kind of good most of the game other than those three back-to-back-to-back picks. And I didn't watch the Pittsburgh game, but I was told that Ben was not moving the ball down the field. So this one is also a toss-up for me, but I'm going to pick Pittsburgh just for the continuity that they have and the fact that Najee Harris will probably be able to run the ball a little bit better on this defense than he was on the Raiders defense. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh. But it's not going to be as blowout-ish.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 3-6 point game, close game. But I think both teams going to rely on their running backs. I think Joe Mixon and Najee will have big games. I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Jags and Cardinals. I'm going with the Cardinals.
Unanimously, this should be unanimous.
Yeah.
Broncos, Jets. Another unanimous.
Yep.
Denver.
Dolphins and the Raiders. This will be a good one. I'm going to go with the home. Tua's back. But I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt Tua's going to be back. I'm going with Vegas.
Hey, told y'all. That dude is not it. Injury prone. Raiders. Shout out to my dad, though. I know you miserable. Went all the way to Miami to see your starting quarterback get hurt and then get ran off the field. Ha ha.
Bucks and Rams. Another American game of the week. I'm going to go with the Rams at home here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I feel like I'm not going to say it right now, but if they can go through these next two games, I feel like it's going to be a long. But they definitely got to make it through these two games first.
I'm
taking Tampa.
You going Tampa? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take the Rams. Neither team look like both teams are undefeated going into the game, but neither team look like they're gonna win the Super Bowl, like without a doubt. Like both teams look beatable. Both teams could have lost in their respective games this past weekend. Matthew Stafford threw a couple of interceptions, but I think Van Jefferson, shout out to Florida, he should get more targets. Then just trying to force the ball to Cooper Kupp, and I forgot their second receiver. I'm sorry, but I think if they actually explore their offense like they did in the first game, you'll see more results, and they wouldn't struggle like they did last week. But I say all of that to still say that I think they're gonna get hot this week and beat the Bucks.
Seahawks and the Vikings.
Unanimous?
Yeah, I'm going Seahawks here.
Seahawks, with a doubt, with no doubt.
Yeah, unanimous. Seahawks.
Packers 49ers for Sunday Night Football. This could be a good one. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers Packers.
Yeah. The 49ers didn't really look that good to me. It's not like Green Bay is looking great. They kind of struggling with the Lions right now. It's 21-17 with 2:30 left in the quarter. But it's not like the Lions are terrible, but they don't look as good as they should.
They don't play away.
Yeah, to that point, Green Bay is driving. They on the 33. So, I'm gonna go with Green Bay.
It's gonna be a tough one. I'm gonna go with Green Bay as well, especially if they end up losing this game against the Lions. They have no choice but to win the next one.
I don't see them losing to the Lions. I'm just saying it's a little closer than most people were expecting. Coming off last week, they were expecting the Packers to just run away with the game. And that's not happening.
In our last week three, the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm going with the Eagles on the road. I feel like they can go get a big win. The Cowboys are finally playing a home game. But Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles
here. I'm going with Dallas. Better team. Better quarterback at this point in time. Better weapons.
I'm going to go with Philly. I feel like they were a few plays away from beating a better San Francisco team than this Dallas team. A better defense than this Dallas defense. Like I said, Jalen Reagor stays in bounds. I feel like they win that game. If they don't take the ball out of... If Jake Elliott doesn't get his field goal blocked, I don't know. I won't say they win that game because they were still... They still would have been down by three. But it would have been a more comfortable field goal. And then if their defense actually gets off the field on one of at least some of those third downs when they got the 49ers on third down, then I feel like they would have won. So, yeah, all of that to say I'm taking Philadelphia. But next up, we're going to shift into the game of the week, the real game of the week, Alabama versus Florida. We went to the game. I felt like I'm not going to spend most of my time talking about the game. That's what Brendan and Kevin are here for. I felt like it was just a really, really great atmosphere from getting down there. It wasn't as far as it didn't feel like 4.5 hours going there. We got there like probably 2-3 minutes before the first quarter ended. Like we said, we had some troubles getting the car, but once we got there, we kind of were smooth sailing. And then shout out to the staff that got us in the game. Like I said, we had ticket trouble. They made that not an issue. We got, like I said, better seats than we paid for. And then we really just had a great time. Shout out to the Florida fans. They were nice. They were talking the whole time. It wasn't just once they made it a close game, they were talking when we were down 21-3 the whole time. And it was just a real cool atmosphere. The only thing game I wanted to see, we got to stop with the favoritism. Not my words, Jericho's words. He said, if we don't cut out this favoritism, we're going to get beat. And I definitely agree with that. Slay Bolden, you should not be on the field. Brian Robinson, you should not be on the field. For that matter, Paul Tyson shouldn't even be the backup. Didn't really matter, but come on, bro. Like, gotta cut that out. And I feel like shout out to Saban for using the press conferences like he always does to chew out the defenses. And he was basically saying we gotta get off the field on third down. And then will play more people who can do it. He was also reprimanding the offense, saying that we can't go 3 and out 3 straight drives. That's kind of hurting the defense. They've been on the field a long time, and it plays both ways. We can't expect them to get off the field if they're on the field 3 straight drives after 3 and outs. But to that point, we did have 3rd and long a lot in that game. And we couldn't get off the field. And that's going to bite us if we... And I don't want to say if we play a better team, because Florida is one of the better teams that we're going to play. But that's going to bite us come playoff time if we don't get those things settled. But all in all, it was a great game. Like I said, I got to sing Rammer Jammer. Should I have been singing it as loud as I was for a 2-point game? Probably not. But given the circumstances of the day, I felt like I deserved to sing it as loud as I wanted to.
Tell him about your fam.
No, he don't deserve. He don't deserve recognition. Just
Alabama fans know how you act. Tell your Alabama fans that's not how to act.
Hey man, all I'm gonna say about this is if you don't know the whole story about what's going on with somebody, just if it's not affecting you, bro, just sit there and be quiet. Like if ain't nobody being bothered, if I'm not affecting nobody, like you literally just walked up 2 minutes and then saw something for 2 minutes and had an issue with it. You didn't know the whole story. So So no, keep it to yourself. Like, and that's what, not just that situation, with a lot of things. If somebody wants to enjoy themselves and it's not affecting you, just keep your thoughts to yourself, especially if it's not constructive. That's all I'm gonna say on that.
Boss moves. Brady, you wanna go? Or
I think, well, that was my first time seeing Florida Stadium at full capacity. Like, I literally, especially during the TV timeouts, I just look around at all the people. Like, that's what I like. The atmosphere. I feel like everybody on campus is all at this one event. Shout out to Alabama. Boy, they balled in the first half. Like, yep, we made it to halftime. Now we can cruise. No, that's not how it happens. And as you see, those type of games you can lose. They were 2 points away from tying. There's no way we should have consecutive three and out. Granted, this is the young quarterback's first road game in a truly hostile environment. So, give him some leeway. We won the game, so roll tide.
Roll tide.
Well, I want to say first, shout out to Not Another Sports Podcast. I love our gang. I love this podcast. And I enjoyed our time together out there. Also, that was my first time actually attending an actual Florida game in the stadium. I've been to many different other stadiums, seen many games, but I have yet to go to the Baltimore Ravens Stadium, and I was yet to go to Yankee Stadium, and I have yet to and until Saturday I was yet to see a Florida game inside the Swamp. So it meant a lot to me, and I'm actually going to check off these buckets list this year and go to actually every single venue that I haven't went to. So this just meant a lot because we had to go through a lot just to end up going to the game. We went to the game and it was nothing less than amazing. Like Jordan said, the staff made sure everything was straight. Even when we had a situation, we still was able to, you know, watch the game, explore, look at. And it was nothing short of my expectations. Gator Nation showed up, showed out. We literally was in there maxed out to capacity. Like, I just sat back sometimes, like Brandon said, and just looked around and just seen the whole orange and blue. And then, no, I also shout out to the Alabama fans because Alabama section was full to they little capacity. You did see some red shirts in there. And you can definitely hear them. You did see some crimson shirts in there, and they definitely did show out. It was actually a point in between. I think it was the second and third quarter where the student section and the little Alabama fan section, they had kind of got into it. So it was cool to see. I just felt like the 6-year-old me had finally made it to that. And it was a great experience. It was loud. You could feel it before you even stepped in. It was just amazing. But to get to the football, we did come towards the end of the first quarter, and it was 21-3. And when we got in there, I was thinking to myself, like, Lord, this is not how I want to have my first game in Florida in the Swamp go. Seeing Alabama with Jordan and Brandon, them being number one, we're being ranked number 11. We went through so much to get to this game. This been a long time coming. This been talked about for like 4 or 5 years now. It's been a long time coming. I bleed this orange and blue. Lord, please don't let us come in here and it's already 21-3 and I sit down and it ends up being 50-3 or something like that. I don't know how I'm gonna make it on the way home, Lord. So I was in my mind thinking that. But Florida actually came out. The defense woke up, performed well. Emory Jones.
Hey man, shout out to Emory Harris, man. He's been doing great things since yeah, graduating. Shout out. Lovejoy. He's been shouted out so many times on accident. Yeah. We gonna no get cap. Henry Jones' name right one of these days.
No cap, when you actually do perform consistently. But he played decent enough. It was times throughout the game where I was like, why is he in? But it turns out that our dual threat quarterback, the one with the strong arm and so electric, had a hamstring injury. And I was thinking to myself while we was there, I was like, he was talking to, they did say he had some injuries. So maybe that's why he's not playing. So I wasn't too upset until we got back to Atlanta. And Jordan was persistent on turning on SportsCenter. And he turned on SportsCenter. And they said Anthony Richardson was out because of hamstrings. But this man was doing backflips.
Bro, that was so funny. And yes, I had to watch SportsCenter, dude. So I can say I was there. What the heck?
This man was doing backflips in pregame. But you got a hamstring.
Who doesn't watch the highlights when they get home?
Me, when you lose. So,
not true.
It's, I can't believe I seen this man doing hamstrings. That's worse than the KD doing the little dances before the game, before the finals, coming off an Achilles injury. Like, I can't believe I seen that, which made me even more heartbroken. Huh?
I say up here too.
Yeah,
he could have got a few plays.
He definitely could have. He was suited up and everything. I was like, bro. But
man, blame your fair.
I'm finna get there. I would say for our defense and our offensive line, our defense, a great job. Granted, you cannot go down 21 points that fast in the game. We got down 21-3 within the first six. We got down 21-0 within the first 6 minutes of the game. And they didn't score a single point the rest of the first half. And they barely scored the second half. So it's the same thing like in the SEC championship. Trey Dean, if you don't intercept the ball, taunting while you're running with it and flaunting it like it's a piece of bread and get smacked by a receiver and fumble it in their red zone and give them a touchdown, we lose by 6 points, point differential. That's what I'm talking about. You lose the game like that. Florida, last Saturday, you go up there, get down by 3 touchdowns quick, then you finally wake up and they only score what? I think they only score 13 points after that to finish the game. You in there if you don't make those critical mistakes to start the game. Like Dan Mullen, you have to stop making the bonehead mistakes at the wrong time in these games. Cause it's like, we have the talent and 9 times out of 10, we are competing most of the game. But it's always those 5 minutes, it's either a 5 minute stretch at the beginning or in the middle or at the end, at the worst time, that put us in situations to lose the game that we can't overcome. And that's the thing that really upsets me when I look at it. Our offensive line performed great. Our defense woke up after we got down 21-0. We have Matt Davis in the back. We have NFL running backs, everything. But we got down 21-0 too fast. And Emory Jones, you had multiple passes of throwing the ball in the dirt over the receiver's head. I don't know how many times I seen you overthrow someone or throw the ball in the dirt. That was like 6-7 passes that could have been first downs, big plays, moving the chains. Those are difference makers right there. Dropping the interception in the end zone from Bryce Young and then coming back and catching it, but having a penalty, and then they score on the next play after that. That stuff right there cannot happen. That stuff is going to continuously kill us if we don't fix that. And Dan Mullen, like, I'm tired of you being the guy at the helm and we having these same issues. Like, Emory Jones, we have the ball with 4 seconds left and you turn into Lamar Jackson wannabe, a Michael Vick wannabe. Like, instead of slinging the ball, you took the opportunity to win the game out of everybody's hands by doing that. Like, that was completely stupid. You knew they was going to have prevent defense. You already knew it was going to be tough coverage. I don't know why you was looking to see if you was going to have an open receiver, but throw the damn ball. I don't know how many times it was 88,000 people in there, and you can hear the Florida Gator fans throughout the game saying, throw the ball.
Like, yeah, it seemed like he didn't see the receiver until the crowd did.
Exactly. Like, we are saying throw the ball, and then you throw the ball. And then, I cannot remember the Alabama DB, but our receiver, and I can't remember our receiver name right now, but we had one-on-one coverage with this dude for most of the game. We got, like, three PIs on him. We was eating on this guy. And it was
a couple of those should have been the pick.
Yeah. But I mean, he did PI though.
He did. I'm not saying he didn't. All he had around and they would have been picks.
True.
But he did.
And it was a couple, and it was also a few. It was a few that he didn't get PI or anything like that. But it was a few passes that could have been big plays on that side of the field if Harris get the ball. I mean, if Emory Jones get the ball.
Yeah, because he decided to turn his head around.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, like, before that. It was a few where...
No, I'm saying the ones that weren't picked that were knocked down were because he decided to turn his head around. The ones that were pass interference were because he didn't turn his head around.
And horrible ball placement. Those deflections was horrible ball placements, and there was a few that was overthrown or in the dirt, and that killed us. But other than that, we did fight hard and we did show a lot of potential, which we always have. Like, there's nobody in the SEC that's touching Florida history if it's not named Alabama. I just want us to get back to if you're not named Alabama. It's just that I want us to get back to being what the SEC should be, which is Florida being dominant in the East, Alabama being dominant in the West. And this is what we always see, Florida versus Alabama, because we don't get no competition when Alabama plays UGA, when LSU plays Alabama, when all of these other teams try to take Florida's position, they get, no pun intended, rolled through. Florida shows up in these moments. And if we might not win, at least we show we deserve to be in these conversations. These other teams do not show that, and they get more hype. And damn, Mullet, you got to get us back to Florida ball, bro. I know I talked a lot about this, but you got to get us back to being Florida, man. Like, this inconsistency stuff is not it.
Yeah. Only thing I wanted to say, the only thing I wanted to add to this game was Bryce Young, you got to start running the ball, bro. Like I said earlier, everybody want to be Aaron Rodgers. Y'all got to stop that. Run the ball. You had the touchdown. And yes, I did go back and look. Even on the drive that Slade Bolden dropped the touchdown, yes, Brian Robinson scored. So the lie is more entertaining than the truth. So, that's what, right. So, the game wouldn't have even been close if Slade Bolden caught that touchdown. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. but other than that, it was a great game. Like I said, shout out to the Florida game. I mean, Florida fans. College game, they know they're going to give you an emotional story. They were telling about how Tom Petty died in like 2017-18, something like that, and then they started playing I Won't Back Down before the fourth quarter, and I'm not gonna lie, that was probably one of the most interesting, it was probably one of the best sports atmospheres I've felt, especially since it was like a 5-point game at that time. So it was definitely really, really really cool to experience.
Yeah, I was piped up with them.
And see how it is with the flashlight.
But it was muggy though, so we was able to see the lights. Yo, if you liking what you're hearing on Not Another Sports Podcast, make sure you follow us on all social media. Not Another Sports Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And on Twitter is N_A_S_podcast. Thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Make sure you continue to stay up tuned and update with everything Not Another Sports Podcast. Now back to our show.
Welcome back again. As always, we do our Ozzy the Chipper segment, which is basically ranking a subject topic or a player with the coinciding number 1-10. So with that being said, this week about whether or not the Braves, Jordan picked the topic, so his confidence whether or not the Braves are play, I think we'll be fine. The Phillies lost it. They suck, bro. We're really the best team in the East. So the good thing is we still got 3 games against them, and we still got 3 games against the Mets. I feel like those would be the games that we extend the lead. I'm not really sure. So I would say like a 1-5.
Yeah. Going into this game tonight, I would have definitely picked a Ryan Howard 6. I'm not saying the sky is falling, but it's definitely time to like pay attention to these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and fire Will Smith. He's stuck.
Yes, he's. I don't get why Tyler Matzik isn't our consistent starter, but I mean not starter closer, but you know, having the best relief pitcher and saving him for the time you need him the most. That just seems like the best idea. But you know, we had a 3-game series with the Giants. I feel like, in my opinion, we outplayed them, even though we were down a lot in that series. Like, we were losing most of the game in the first game. We clearly were losing most of the game because we got shut out in the second game. And then we won the last game, but I feel like that was like a late comeback. But that being said, we still should have won the series. Should have been 2-1. We had the last game. We hit a go-ahead on 3-run home run in the 9th inning. and then we had it was a 2-2 count with 2 outs, and Will Smith gave up the game tying home run. The announcers went silent for 35 seconds, and I swear I felt their pain, because they were basically thinking, if we're saying what we really want to say, we're probably going to get fired. So let's just not say anything. And then they just waited for the next batter to be announced. And then they just picked up like nothing happened. But, yeah, I feel like that was a winnable series. But we did find a way to salvage it and win last night. And, like Brendan said, the Mets beat the Phillies last night. The Orioles won today. We're up 2-0 in the 5th. So I feel like right now it'll probably be a 4. I'll bump it down from a 6 to a 4 just because we're at 3 games if we win. But I still feel like it's something to keep your eye on. Who's 4? Isaiah Thomas? Lil IT 4? Yeah, I'm gonna go Lil IT.
You talk about the Braves?
Yes. What's your confidence in them making the playoff?
Probably like Mike.
One. So you're 1 confident that we gonna make the playoff?
No, I said 7. Mike Vick 7.
10. Brendan said 10 confident, and as he said that, the Diamondbacks hit a game time 2-run home run. So, well, Ketel Marte hit a double. So, thanks for that.
Well, I said 7 because I'm probably just hating, but it's probably a high chance that y'all make the playoffs. Y'all have to
to make the playoffs is a 7.
Huh?
So your confidence in us to make the playoffs is a 7.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I should have made the playoffs.
We should. I don't think it's as a guarantee as y'all are y'all two are making it, but I feel like if you're asking me right now, I believe we will, but it's not out of I'm not nearly as confident as I was even when Roy first got injured. When he first got injured, I still felt like, yeah, we're still gonna make the playoffs, but I don't feel as confident right now. Right.
Next up, we got whether or not the Yankees will make the playoffs. But I say Ozzy won here. It's too much talent in that division. I feel like it's the Blue Jays division to win. So, shout out to that young team. They're doing something up here. Not for the border. But I don't think the Yankees are going to make the playoffs.
Going with Dwayne Wade 3. We're like a half game out of the wild card. Of course, we wasn't going to win the division. I think that was probably already set in stone for the Blue Jays. But, I mean, the rate. Yeah. No, Blue Jays number one in there. Right?
What? Blue Jays. I didn't hear what you said.
Blue Jays number one, right? Not the Rays, right?
The Rays in the NL East. I mean, AL East. I know the Blue. Last time I checked, the Blue Jays were the wild card leader, but they lost today. So, yeah, the Boston is 1.5 up on Toronto, and Toronto is a half a game up on you. But okay. Y'all,
we
played today, or y'all lost, one or the other.
We went on a 12 game win streak, and they ended up going on like an 8-9. 8-9 we're losing game win streak, then won a game, then lost.
Oh no, y'all won. I'm sorry. Yeah, y'all won today. Y'all beat the Rangers.
We have wet the bed numerous times, and at one point in the season I was done. And then it was one point in the season where I was happy and everybody was talking about, oh, the Yankees could be a World Series threat. Now I wasn't getting that happy, but I was happy. And I started to think, well, maybe this team finally learned. Then I realized Gerrit Cole got COVID, came back struggling. We don't have depth at the pitching position. You could say Aaron Judge is an MVP candidate, but I just feel like none of these people on this team really cares about winning or really wants to bring another championship to the pinstripes. I don't think this roster of players actually know what it means to be a New York Yankee, what it means to actually wear these pinstripes. You just don't go out there, make a bunch of money, and be okay with having the Tampa Bay Rays be better than you. Like, it's unacceptable. And for us to have sole possession of the top wild card position literally a month ago, to be struggling to even make the playoffs, is mind-boggling to me, and it's frustrating and it's annoying, and it's leads me to the conclusion that I don't know if we're gonna make the playoffs, because we still have to play the Red Sox, who is above us to end the season, and I do not believe we will split the series. And that's just based off of what they have shown me the last few weeks. So I say 3, but it might be even lower than that.
I'm gonna go with Derek Jeter 2. I don't see y'all making it. I feel like y'all's, like you mentioned just now, y'all's schedule is a little bit too tough. Y'all do play the Red Sox, and y'all play the y'all play Toronto after that. And it's not like the Rangers are just terrible. They are 55-95, but they are giving y'all a fight. Have to, y'all, it was 4-0 in the first 3 innings, and then they scored 3 in the 5th. And then they did have runners on base in other innings, but they just couldn't finish the job. So it's not going to be as easy against the Rangers as their record says. The Red Sox are the Red Sox. And I believe the Blue Jays have the AL MVP. We're gonna do it on this episode, but we will definitely talk about that at some point.
Hey, what's going on? Can't get enough of Not Another Sports Podcast? Well, you can follow us on social media at Not Another Sports Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and N_A_S_Podcast on Twitter. And keep up with everything Not Another Sports Podcast. We appreciate y'all's support, and y'all make sure y'all subscribe. And back to the show.
Next up, we got our penalty kick segment. This week's topic is Tua and Carson Wentz are hurt again. Nobody really expected Carson Wentz not to get hurt. They were asking that question going into training camp. And we want Tua to be all right. I don't necessarily know, but it's ribs, right?
Yeah.
So he might have a fracture rib. To breathe, let alone play football again. So I want Tua to get back. I don't really care what the folks think. None of them on my fantasy team. Yeah, I don't really watch them. So how y'all feel about Tua and Carson Wentz being hurt?
This doesn't surprise me. I mentioned that this was probably going to happen in maybe the same different episodes. I do remember the segments. We was talking about if Jalen would be better than Tua, or if Mac would have, who would have the best career out of the Alabama players. And we were saying that as good, as highly touted as Tua was coming into college, he was actually the highest rated quarterback out of all three of them. He gets hurt the most. So it's kind of hard to pick him out of those three. And then I remember we were talking predictions, and we were talking about the Colts and how I would have picked them to win the division, but I don't trust Carson Wentz to play 17. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me, neither one of them.
Doesn't surprise me at all. When the Dolphins drafted Tua, I didn't understand the draft pick. I know Tua is really good. I know he's very talented, but he's an injury plagued quarterback, and that was coming from high school to college to the pros. And even in his rookie season, he struggled to stay on the field with some nicks and bruises. So, it's not expected. It wasn't surprising. Unfortunate, though. Do wish for his healthy. Wish for him to get healthy and come back and hopefully take the Dolphins to the playoffs. But I just don't see him being the franchise leader because of that. Carson Wentz, he is who he is. An injury-prone quarterback that peaked in his second, third year in the league.
Our last penalty kick topic is the Bucs are interested in Richard Sherman. I think it'll be a good move. You can always solidify one side of the field with a lockdown corner. I'm sure he's not necessarily considered lockdown anymore. They're not gonna ask him to do too much. He's not gonna be 2012 or 2011.
I don't think it hurts them. Richard Sherman is a Hall of Fame cornerback, one of the most elite cornerbacks we've seen in our era, part of the LOB, a Super Bowl champion. Been to the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the 49ers. Think he can add a lot of veteran experience, a lot of championship pedigree to this roster, although they really don't need it. But Richard Sherman is Richard Sherman. He gets his respect. He's still a good corner in his league. And I like this pickup.
I feel like this would be a good pickup to add depth. And he could be a good mentor juniors, and the other young DBs that they have on the team. I don't see him being like the lockdown guy, but he was pretty good with the 49ers last year. And I don't see it being harmful, like Brendan said. And obviously, he won't be coming in on a lot of money. So it's a win-win for both sides. Penny said that we got to talk something about basketball. So we're going to talk about Kyle Lowry wearing number 7.
Oh, yeah. Gordon Dragic.
Yeah.
He said, he basically said he gave his blessing for Kyle Lowry to wear number 7. So you're not even on the team.
Okay. You're not good enough to give a blessing. Get out of here. Like, we love you. You did what you needed to do when, came last year when we made the playoff run, but right, you ain't even played most of the games. You played like 2-3 games. We love your effort. We love you sucking it up, gutting it out, giving us some spark off the. I won't say he came off the bench when he came back, but I'm not 100% sure. But we're appreciative of all of that. But no, you're not getting a number retired for that. No, stop it.
Want to be known.
I don't know what the hell his blessing was to Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's an NBA champion last time I checked.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yes.
But Kyle Lowry is a Hall of Fame talent. Don't first know about ballot.
First ballot. Well, not talent, but he's still going to get in first ballot.
Yeah. And he also has proven more in this league than Goran Dragic. Goran Dragic has definitely came to Miami and fought hard, put his all into the city. Definitely is loved by Heat fans, respected. I love him, hate to see him go. Definitely like the idea of keeping him last year instead of getting rid of him last year. But he's not the best point guard in Heat history. He's not one of the top 5 players in Heat history. He wasn't the driving force to the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. He wasn't never the face of the franchise. So for us to be having a conversation or for him to be talking about, he gave an NBA champion a 7-time All-Star compared to your 1 All-Star, your blessing. That's just laughable to me. And Kyle I'm not Lowry a huge Kyrie like fan, a high Kyle Lowry fan.
It wasn't Stu that got married in the second Hangover. Oh, it was Stu. When he pulled up back up on the island, he said, "I just want your blessing."
Well, before we get out of here, we got one more segment. It's called Pick the Inning. This week's question is, what was the top 3 to 5 loudest or most exciting sports moments that you've been involved in? I say the Ole Miss game in 2012. No, the Texas A&M game in 2012. The Grand Slam in the playoffs. And... Saturday.
The 2012 game was Johnny Manziel's year. For me, I say this anytime I see the video, anytime it's brought up, any of that. The Grand Slam when Roy hit it, I want to say it was his rookie. Yes, it was his rookie year. Against the Dodgers in the first round, game 3 of the NLDS. That was literally the loudest moment I've ever been involved in. You could tell when he went up 3-0 and the umpire called the strike that something was about to happen. Everybody got their phone. That even if it wasn't a grand slam, it was going to be something that you wanted to capture. So, yes. It was a great moment, definitely, easily number 1. I went back and forth on number 2. I'm probably gonna say the playoff game between LSU and Oklahoma. I feel like that one was a really, really loud atmosphere. Then the third, I'm going to go the playoff game between Alabama and Washington. Sorry, I was drawing a blank. Shout out to Washington. Their fans definitely packed the Georgia Dome for its last collegiate game. They definitely made that trip a very, very long trip, and they made their presence known. But that'll be three for me. Number four will be Saturday. And I can't think of five right now. Maybe the Iron Bowl when we I can't remember exactly, but it was like right before Kenny Bell. It was like really, really loud. Then he got hurt and it got like quiet. It was quiet the rest of the game. But those are my five.
Okay. For me, excuse me. The first one, I'd say, yeah, Saturday. That crowd was electric. It was loud. It was, you could barely hear me when I was recording. That's how loud it was. Like, the stadium was rocking. And that was just one of the best environments I ever been in. One of the best moments of my life. So a couple of years ago, me, Terry, and Tommy was at the Hawks game against the Bucks, and we went to go see Giannis, but Giannis didn't play. I don't even think Chris Middleton played that game, but he might. But Trae Young hit a buzzer beater and to win the game in overtime. And before that, it was like two game buzzer beaters from him and another, and someone else from the Bucks. It was one of the best NBA games I've seen. And actually, Atlanta fans actually showed out to that game. I don't know, maybe because they thought Giannis was playing. But that crowd was full and it was loud. And when Trae Young hit the game winner in overtime, Atlanta went absolutely crazy. That was one of the loudest times I actually heard in the Hawks Arena. So I have to go over that. Number two. Number three, if you're from South Florida, especially Miami, you know how big high school football is down there. And you know how big Northwestern is, Central is, the Booker T's of the world is. So Central versus Northwestern is basically, to us, it's like Lovejoy versus Monday Mill. Is one of the biggest rivalries in Miami, one of the biggest biggest games of the year down there. Central is where Dalvin Cook went. Northwestern is where like Teddy Bridgewater and others went. Those schools produce a lot of NFL athletes today that's playing right now today. And as a kid, we used to go to those games. And every single time I went to a Northwestern Central game, it was packed, full, and loud. And it sounds like a college game compared to a high school game. So I give it that. So I have to go with that. It's number three. I say LSU versus Oklahoma. Four, not because of Oklahoma. That's just because they're near the state of Louisiana, stay in the city of Atlanta now. So right. They was all there packed out for the Tigers. And it was disgusting because I'm a Gator fan and I had to see so many people in there wearing yellow and purple talking about go Tigers and all of that stuff. But it was very loud. It was very loud. I give you that. And the fifth one, I say... when I was a kid, around like 9 years old, when I went to the Orange Bowl, Miami was pretty decent at the time. Had we were good at the time, and Georgia Tech was decent. And we went to the Orange Bowl to watch Miami versus Georgia Tech, and when I say Georgia Tech and Miami fans do not get along, they do not get along. So they was piped up and loud that day.
Yeah. To your point, just the honorable mention, I would say the second year when we played Colquitt County, I want to say it was their like 100-year celebration of having a football team or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they were celebrating that. So they had, I mean, in South Florida, they shut down the city for games anyway, but mm-hmm. they definitely had basically everybody. It was basically like a second homecoming for them. For the Florida game, just because it's fourth on my list doesn't mean it wasn't like one of the best atmospheres I've ever experienced. It was definitely top tier. Another shout out to Florida. Shout out to the fact that you can basically get to anywhere in your stadium from anywhere. It's not like at Alabama where you have to go in one gate and you can't go from the top to the bottom. You can get to wherever you need to get to. I definitely like that. Shout out to them, like I was saying. Great stadium, great atmosphere, all that. Great traditions with the going into the fourth quarter song, all that.
No cap. Shout out to Bradley Beal for being the honorary two-bit, too. I must say I didn't get to see that.
That concludes another podcast, not another sports podcast. Remember, I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. And make sure you follow me on all those social media sites. That Rob was there.
And this is Kevin. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at Sean Kevo. I mean, at Vice City Kevo.
Yeah, and this is Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at @this_guy11, on Instagram at _this_guy11. And follow the sports pages on Facebook and Instagram at Not Another Sports Podcast, on N_A_S_podcast. We're not on YouTube this week, but we're on YouTube every Saturday. Telly, we have an episode that was re-recorded on 9/11 that I definitely forgot to put out, so I'm definitely gonna put that out now. You can go and check out the audio, but if you are plugged in, you saw it on when it was live. Yeah, shout out to anybody that supports us on all. You can search us up, Not Another Sports Podcast, black and red logo. Like, subscribe, give us comments, feedback, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Definitely appreciate it. And we definitely got more games to come, both home and away of our favorite teams. You know, we definitely gonna be hitting the road
bigger and better. That's all we doing, improving and getting better, enhancing what we have. More content on the way.
Yes,
and with all that being said, make sure that y'all are washing your hands. Make sure y'all are being safe. Black Lives Matter. Hot Mamba 2 is coming at the end of this month, so be on the lookout for that. For real, put all my feelings and heart into this. And with all of that being said, stay safe, be blessed, and go Gators.
Roll Tide.
Yes, sir.